forget. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price.
We're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Your host, Michael Sugg, coming with you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I am waiting on my guest. If the port operator would please turn the music down, I would appreciate it. At any rate, I'm waiting on my guest, Doug. Now, unlike these guys that get paid $50 million contracts to get on and lie to you, normal people like us, like Doug, and like a lot of the other people who are diligent patriots, they have to work for a living. And I know that Doug gets off at 3. He lives right there in Round Rock, believe it or not, just a few blocks from the station, as he mentioned to me. But at any rate, if the board operator would try to get Doug on the phone, he does have Doug on the phone. Okay. Doug, are you with me?
Hey, Mike. What's going on, buddy?
How you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. It's a beautiful day in Round Rock, Texas here. The sun is shining, so, you know, pretty good, all things considered.
Okay. I'm going to ask my board operator if he can turn up your volume just a little bit there, Doug. I was mentioning when I first came on the show today, you know, I've had this debacle going on all week with my wife's car being held hostage by the Phoenix Police Department, but I had occasion to come home a little while ago, just before the show started, and I guess there was a couple of teenagers or guys in their early 20s. I don't know what they had done. They got in a fight, or they had, you know, maybe shoplifted from the local store down the street. I don't know what they did, but there was, and, you know, 20 years ago, if the police were chasing a couple of guys, you might see 2, 3, 4 cop cars, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 cops. Do you know that there was 13 cop cars out here and about 25 cops that were subduing 2 teenage boys, or maybe early 20s.
Sounds like a little bit of an overreaction.
Talk about overkill, Doug. I've never seen anything like it. And not only that, but this debacle. I've been down to the police department 2 or 3 times this week trying to, you know, get my wife's car released from its hostage-held situation in an impound yard, which I finally got done. But, you know, the attitude that these people have, they call you by your first name, but when you ask them their name, it's Officer So-and-so. They will not give you their first name, and they have an attitude. They talk down to you like you're some sort of an insect. I mean, I haven't experienced that much of it lately, but I'm starting, as I look around here, and I'm starting to see what's going on, and you start looking at it firsthand and watching what happens if you drive down the road and you see somebody get pulled over, especially right there in Round Rock where you live, Doug.
Oh, when yeah, somebody, sure.
Yeah, I can't count how many times I've seen somebody get pulled over, and within 5 minutes there's 3 cop cars and 6 cops for a traffic stop. It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, we had a guy here a couple months ago. He had stolen a car, and he was on a, I guess it's a farm road. They still call it an FM, even though they toll portions of it, 620. And they stole the car, and they had a lockdown of 15 school campuses, so they actually locked down all of the campuses just in case that, you know, he might go 15 miles and jump into one of the schools. And it was one of the reports on the television was, it was, you know, we had to lock down all these schools, campus-wide lockdown. And you're like, wow, you know, it's 15, 16 miles from there. And when I was driving home, the first thing I saw was 2 helicopters in the air. And I'm like, wow, this is, you know, the guy had stolen a GL Metro. Things probably weren't, you know, at most maybe $4,000 or $5,000, and there was literally, I mean, probably 12 unmarked cars. There were, you know, at least 9 black and whites that I saw. Not to mention 2 helicopters for a car theft. And I tell you what, I've had a car stolen, and I never got that quick response.
Well, I wanted to bring you up today. I know I've been into your website, blacklistednews.com, And, you know, I'm concerned here because they've, you know, this administration has tripled the size of the BATF. They're talking about putting, you know, years ago they talked about putting 100,000 additional police officers on the street. But this is literally turning into a police state. I mean, everywhere you look, every place you go, and it's not just, they're not officer McFriendly anymore. They, what they're doing is they're looking for any reason that they can find to arrest you and to get you into their system. They're no longer peace officers. They're law enforcement officers. Go ahead.
You can usually beat the rat, but you can't beat the ride. And I think that's the mentality of a lot of them is, you know, they'll just, you know, pull you over, find any kind of misdemeanor, any reason to pull you in, get you in the system, get you booked. They might release you and drop charges later. They still kind of bagged and tagged you, and you're in the system. And, you know, that's kind of the mentality of a lot of these police forces. But, I mean, it's no surprise. I mean, you look at companies like Triple Canopy. We talk, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with Blackwater, DynCorp, but Triple Canopy, they are another military-industrial complex contractor, and they specialize in training police forces, and they also train military special forces as well. So, you know, your Barney Fife here in Round Rock, Texas, is getting the same training with the same mentality as, you know, Green Berets. And that's the whole thing is that, you know, it's you first. You know, these people are your, they are your servants. You know, you are the authority. And, you know, at any time, you know, this person's out there to get you and they could pull a gun on you. So, you know, I guess in certain areas, maybe like if you're in Detroit, that might be, you know, if I was a cop in Detroit, I would be a lot more probably militaristic, you know, just for a little self-preservation. But, you know, here somewhere like Round Rock, Texas, or, you know, just, you know, some, you know, 5,000-person small town, I mean, you know, you don't need military-grade cops on the street trying to, you know, quell the public. I mean, it's just, it's such a huge merger between the military and the police force. So, I mean, it doesn't shock me at all.
Well, this is why George Bush, you know, enacted the presidential order to get rid of, you know, posse comitatus. I found it interesting, you know, during this implication that I went through last week with the Phoenix Police Department, when you go in there, they want all of your documentation up front. And before you ever walk in the door, they've done a warrant check on you because they want to find a way or find a reason to arrest you. But I was instructed by one police officer, Doug, to come in and bring any kind of an insurance policy on any vehicle, and that would be fine, and they would release the vehicle. Well, I drove all the way down there. When I got there, another police officer, and by the way, they take turns. They've got about 20 of them in there, and you never get the same one twice. The next police officer told me that that wasn't true, and that I had to go get a binder on that particular vehicle, of which I went out and got done. But when I got the facts from this insurance agent, which is rather interesting, I found a name on there that I had run across several years ago that they, before they will issue you a binder, they run it through a place called Choice Point. Have you ever heard of them?
I have. Yeah, Choice Point, basically they do the same thing that Papa John's does. They scan for any kind of warrants. They check all your registration. It's a huge database that's state and federal. And they also, I want to say that they're also incorporated with subsidiaries like the same people that make the Raptor machines for the schools, where you can go in and actually they have to scan your ID before they'll release your child to you. So, you know, these things are all, you know, just becoming pretty streamlined.
Well, Choice Point is a data mining company, if I recall. Right, yeah. And they're used to get all kinds of information. Now, so whatever happened to, you know, something called the Privacy Act, where we were supposed to be protected and we weren't supposed to have this information available on us? That, I guess that all went down the wayside with the warrantless wiretapping and the rest of this stuff. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, you know, the Military Commissions Act, Patriot Act 1 and 2, John Warner Defense Bill, I mean, you go on and on. I mean, there's not much left of the Constitution that they can't double speak their way around. I mean, today I was just looking at an article about now that they've really reworded and worked their way around email privacy almost 100%. The Constitution is null and void. By using email, you give up your Fourth Amendment right.
How so?
It's just never ending. You know, I mean, we really don't have any Fourth Amendment rights, and the few that we do have, most people end up giving up by proxy. By, you know, if you use anything like AT&T, Verizon Wireless, I mean, in their new agreements, they own that data. So, you know, you have the choice not to do business with them and protect your privacy. But if you need to communicate with others in the world, well, then you're SOL.
So what you're saying is anytime, or what they're saying is anytime we voluntarily give up any information to any of these entities, then they can use it in whatever form they wish and share it with anybody they like.
Oh, yeah. It's theirs. It's proprietary to AT&T. I use them as an example because they were the first to come out. But, you know, Verizon and Sprint have since hopped on the bandwagon. And, you know, just read the fine print when you go and get a cell phone. It's in there. They own all of it. You know, text messages, anything that's in your any contact lists. And, you know, they can pretty much use it in any way, shape, form, or fashion and sell it to whoever they want. I mean, it's their information. It's no longer yours. So a lot of people think that they have privacy, and they're really surprised when, hey, you know, how did you get this information? How did you know? Well, you know, you didn't realize that you had signed away all of your Fourth Amendment rights by signing a contract with this corporation or the state.
Well, Doug, let me ask you a question here. And is this a far stretch to say that let's, for the sake of discussion, say that I got into an argument with my wife, and there was really, really nasty, you know, text messages that went back and forth for, you know, a period of time. Theoretically speaking, that means that they could actually take that information and sell it to whatever entity they want. Anybody that wanted that particular information, they would have a record of it, inclusive of any phone calls. Does that mean that they're recording our phone calls as well?
Well, for the most part, I think mostly, at least maybe this is just analytical studies where they just look for keyword analysis, not only for but for advertising, you know, demographic targeting, appeasement politics, seeing how upset the population is from, you know, current legislation, how people feel about certain bills, to see exactly, you know, how much they can push forward, you know, how much blowback they're getting from the current, you know, latest piece of legislation. But they could use that. Now, I don't know how admissible it would be in to, you know, a court or, like, you know, a divorce hearing or something like that. But they can definitely sell it to, you know, whoever they want for whatever reason. But I don't know. I mean, like, here in Texas, if one person on the phone is recording the conversation and they are aware, then that is legally admissible in court. You know, if I'm recording you right now, Mike, and, you know, we have some kind of verbal contractual agreement, you know, I can use that. But if neither of us, neither party is aware, then it falls into espionage. But so much of that is in this new gray area with all of the recent pieces of legislation that have gone through since, you know, September 11, 2001.
Well, it's interesting. I was perusing through your website, and by the way, I want to mention to the board operator, yes, please turn up Doug's volume a little bit if you would. He's a little bit low. But at any rate, I was perusing through your website, blacklistednews.com, and I'm visualizing here, there's a picture of I guess it would be a police officer, standing there in what looks like a Star Wars getup. Also, by the way, for the board operator, there's feedback coming through. I can hear myself talking. So at any rate, I'm looking at a picture of what looks like a RoboCop, or it looks like, you know, close to a Star Wars thing. So,
right.
And what it says is bulletproof jackets do not turn security guards, police officers, and armed forces into RoboCops. But I'm assuming here that over the next 2, 3, 4 years, they're going to have this in service, and they're going to be wearing these get-ups out in public.
Well, sure. You're talking about that nanotech to make this bulletproof vest. You know, that's just one of the latest things, the DARPA initiatives, as I like to call them. They are pushing forward. I mean, if you just Google DARPA and look at the things that they are actually, you know, spending your tax dollars on, it's quite scary. I mean, I'm just trying to think. I mean, you know, DARPA, these are the same guys that are making these brain-jit cyborg moths that a bunch of people, I think it was in Louisiana, the Washington Post reported saying they had spotted them. Now, I don't know if they did or not. But we do know that DARPA has invested a lot of money into that type of technology, merging, insects with electromechanical devices for spying and whatnot. There's an article on there. They want to basically genetically modify soldiers to where they have no feeling, they're not tired, and it's a cocktail of drugs, everything from methamphetamine-based drugs like what's the name of it, Adderall, to a bunch of different things, and it's just a cocktail. To make these super troopers, you know, that are witty and smart and require less sleep. So you're going to see this technology. I mean, you know, this is just what they let people like you and I, Mike, read. I mean, this is just what's made public that comes by way of DARPA. And if you look at, you know, DARPA's really, they're a middle management group, kind of like the NSA and CIA. Like a lot of people in the movement, you know, they pin everything on the NSA and the CIA, but most people don't really realize how much of the NSA and the CIA is really outsourced now to government contractors like SAIC, L3 Communications. So these guys are really middle managers. They're really just, they basically, you know, Dick Cheney, the PNAC boy, say, well, we think that race-specific bioweapons would be handy. And they say, well, can you help us out, DARPA? Sure, we'll help you out. And they go out to bid, and they find these contractors that'll, bid on creating this stuff. And it's just like, you know, the NSA. I mean, you talk about war planning. I mean, a lot of that does come out of think tanks like PNAC and such. But the actual strike plans, they're not created by Wolfowitz or even, people like Keith Wiseman, these neocons that are kind of use Cheney as a conduit. These are created by STRATCOM generals working in tandem with NORTHCOM, STRATCOM, and their contractors, which are primarily, if you look at the board members, they're almost all, ex-joint chiefs, chief of staff, so on and so forth. But, as we continue to fight this phony war on terror, we're just going to see more and more of this. And, I mean, if you just... I try to keep up with the technology. A lot of people think it's really neat, and I get a lot of visitors. They're like, wow, do you think that that's a negative thing or a positive thing? And I'm like, well, it's just a thing. It's just like, RFID. It has a lot of handy, ways it can be used. I don't necessarily think that RFID itself is evil, but it can be used for evil. You know, and that's the sad thing is that so much of this technology could be used for good. So much of this money, I mean, SAIC this year, we gave them $8 billion. They're taking in more money than the Internal Revenue Service is actually pulling out of the pockets of the Americans every year. And they do that by raising the debt ceiling, to $10 trillion now? So, everything's being outsourced, including our police. People like Triple Canopy are training them to be, militant gunfighters and teaching them that the same tactics that they use in Iraq are to be used here, in small town USA. And that's the problem is that, where does the line draw? I mean, I want a good police force. I do want to be protected. It's one of the few things that I think the government should render. I mean, I think the government should protect your life and your property.
All right, let me stop you right there. We got to take a break, Doug. We'll be back in three. Mike Herzog, the American Way, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona.
It's not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Catholic Priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, we're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona with my guest Doug Owen. Phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443 if you want to call in with a question or a comment. You know, Doug, what concerns me is that, and I noticed it firsthand, both this morning out in front of my apartment and also last week with the police department down in Phoenix. This incident this morning was total overkill. I mean, not only was there 20 cops out there for these guys, but they were dressed to the hilt, bulletproof vests. Their belt is now full of everything you can imagine, from tasers to mace to guns to everything. I mean, billy clubs. They're wearing at least 10 different items on their belt, you know, just waiting for the opportunity to use any one of them. And I see these videos with regularity of tasering these teenagers and so forth, and tasering college students, and you know, just arresting people at will. And it's very disconcerting.
It is, and the big problem is that the mentality. You know, now that we see that terrorism is crime, crime is terrorism. This doublespeak. Excuse me. Sorry about that. And now, you know, you see so much legitimization for this. Well, you know, we don't want our cops to be hurt, you know. And, you know, it's just like a lot of these things. I mean, there's great selling points, you know. When you talk about RFID, well, nobody wants to lose grandma. She's, you know, senile. Well, just stick a chip in her. You know, and to the average person, well, that sounds pretty reasonable. And to the average person, I mean, it seems pretty reasonable to have these guys dressed to the T. But, I mean, you see things like Virginia Tech shooting. Those guys, while he's running around shooting, you know, 30 kids, you know, the police and the bomb squads are out there putting on all their gear, all of this stuff, you know, all their bulletproof vests to try to protect their life. And the problem is that I think that there's just no real heroes anymore. That's what I think. I think that these guys, they're so busy worried about themselves and protecting themselves and putting on their gear and all these different things rather than just doing their job. And, you know, we see that, you know, tasers are one of the things that really, grind my gears, I guess, because, you know, they're supposed to be used where lethal force would be used. But we see, you know, like you said, all these videos where they just taser kids. If you do not comply, you know, this is pain compliance, you know, get up. Well, you just taser, you just shot 50,000 bolts into a little old lady and you expect her to get up within 5 seconds. And, you know, I mean, every day, you know, I could have a whole website dedicated just to people getting tasered. It's really sad, and, you know, and it's just, you know, I don't know where, you know, I guess a lot of these people, you know, are coming back from Iraq or filling the ranks of the, police force, you know, and they have this special training, and they see you as an insurgent, an enemy combatant. And that's the way, when I mean, there are a lot of good cops, and I don't want to just sit here and bash and say every cop's a bad person, because I know a lot of good ones that do care, you know, they're doing it because they care about the community, But too often you get these guys that have, you know, come back and they're just, you know, they see the people as they're, you know, an insurgent, an enemy combatant, and they treat you that way too.
Well, it's interesting. There was a statement that I recall that one of these police officers had said to me down at the station the other day, and it was on the subject of the insurance. And I can't remember exactly what the subject content was, but he came back with me of a statement that said, because people lie to us. And I took that in the context of he really didn't believe anything that anybody said. Everything that anybody said in the, you know, from the standpoint of a citizen was a lie. And they had to check everything. And, you know, not only just look at a document, but they had to verify the document by going in the back, killing a half an hour of your time, and making telephone calls. I was down at that police station Friday after my show for a good 2 hours while they were trying to verify insurance coverage. And they almost forced me to come back again because the 800 number wasn't good enough. I had to find a local number for them. But when I went to get a local number, they were apprehensive about giving me a phone book. I mean, this is what they put you through now. Hello? Are we still on? Oh, we lost the caller. Okay, so, boy, I tell you, there's a lot of technical difficulties going on today. At any rate, yeah, so I took that in the context that they don't believe anything that any of us say. And I can't really point a finger at the specific police officer and say, well, you don't believe it. I go a step farther than that, and I look at, obviously, the training that they're getting. And the training that they're getting, they're being instructed by the trainers of what kind of an attitude to have. And I recall years ago, I had been, I don't know, it was maybe 30, 35 years ago, I had been pulled over for a police officer by doing something stupid. And that police officer told me that they had what is called an attitude check, that their attitude depended on my attitude, and they could be nice or they could be mean, and it all depended on my attitude. Well, it seems like in this day and age, they no longer have that attitude, but they're no longer trained to have that attitude. They're trained to have an attitude that everybody is a criminal and everybody is a liar. And they act accordingly. And what they don't realize is the aggravation and the stress. And I'm not going to, you know, continue to elaborate on this subject because I spoke a lot about it last week. But the aggravation and the stress that they caused by both myself and my wife by trying to do nothing but simply, you know, releasing her vehicle, which wasn't drivable anyway. A tow truck had to put this vehicle on the back of a tow truck and move it away because it was undriveable, but that wasn't good enough for them.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back.
The American Awakening coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Well, back to my guest, Doug. We got a little technical difficulties again. I didn't hear the music during the break. But at any rate, you know, this seems to be getting incrementally stepped up more and more and more. And like you mentioned, you know, these people are looking for any reason they can do. They can get you into a database. They arrest you or whatever. And it's the aggravation. And the system, once you get in there, once you get into the court system, the way they've got it arranged – is that although they show you the illusion that you have constitutional rights, the bottom line is that they throw as many charges against somebody as they can, and then they try to get you to plea bargain because the plea bargain looks so much better than the charges they've thrown at you. And it's all, in my estimation, nothing more than a money-making machine all around.
Oh, sure, Mike. These guys have quotas. You know, they that's how they make their bread and butter is, you know, dragging kids into, you know, the court system, you know, catch a kid with a joint, you know, the next 5 years of his life, he's going to be paying, not only for his classes, his required classes, but he's also going to have to, you know, pay probation fees, go in, pay for the testing, and, you know, if you do make it through and you don't step on anybody's toes, I mean, then you're still labeled as a convicted offender. It's just a systemic problem that is continuing. And as, I mean, you know, we look at the Patriot Act. I mean, they're using the Patriot Act in non-terror related cases. you know, they're busting down strip clubs and, you know, grabbing pot dealers left and right and using the Patriot Act. And I think the big problem is, I mean, there's a lot of good cops and that have to deal with a lot of bad stuff. I've actually ridden with an APD on two different occasions, and let me tell you, those guys, they have to deal with a lot. But, you know, I've been to the DMV and had, you know, given the runaround. Well, you need this piece of paper to transfer your title. Okay, I go get that piece of paper. I don't know who you talk to. You need to get this piece of paper. Go get that. No. Come back. And so, you know, it's kind of like when I was in the military, you know, they promise you all of this tuition. Good luck getting it. You have to jump through hoops, and you have to come out of pocket for the money. If you pass the course, they'll reimburse you for it later. So, it, like you said, it's an illusion of rights. You have rights if you're willing to jump through all of these hoops and all of these exemptions.
Okay, well, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Let's go to George in Florida. George, you're on with Michael and Doug. Go ahead.
I'd like to know, when will be enough? When will the people say enough is enough? Up in a couple counties north where I live, I can't name any names or anything because I know these people. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, three sheriff's deputies in a group did taser a woman that was like 68 years old, and a couple people said enough is enough. Because they were sitting there laughing while they were tasing her. And they said enough is enough, and they picked up their Louisville Sluggers and knocked the cops out and used enough of force just to handcuff them. And now they're sitting in the county jail. They put a high bond on them. And now the prosecutor wants to get a change of venue to Orlando, Florida, because there is the sheriff's office and the police have such a bad rap with the public.
How is the change of venue going? Are they going to be able to get it, do you know?
I don't know.
Well, you know, and I know you know this, George, why they do that is they, you know, if the police department does have a bad reputation and they know that the townspeople are behind the victim and behind the people that are trying to protect the victim, they'll get a change of venue so they can, you know, get it into an arena that the people are not aware of the circumstances. And I'm sure that that's happening with more regularity. Do you want to comment on this, Doug?
Well, yeah, I mean, I give kudos to those guys. You know, we see a lot more of this, these people reacting to these cops. I've seen quite a few videos where, you know, people are actually, you know, yelling at it. Not only, I mean, it's great that people are now videotaping it and that way we can expose this stuff. So, you know, it's a travesty.
Well, a convenience store camera picked up the cops' activity from the gas pumps because it wasn't, and the woman was unarmed. They just didn't want to argue with her. That's why they tased her.
Did they confiscate the video camera from the convenience store?
No, the store manager gave it to the attorney. They said not without a court order you can not get that videotape.
Good. And ultimately what will happen, and we were talking about the ride a few minutes ago, you know, it can get expensive because you got to hire attorneys and you got to go through all their legal mumbo-jumbo and so forth, and it's very stressful, very aggravating. The bottom line is hopefully in this particular case it will be dropped. And maybe, just maybe, George, that might start set a precedent and will cause the police department to think twice. And I know that this is happening, not with regularity, but there are isolated cases across the country where this is happening, where people are standing up or they're catching them on videotape, where the police have overstepped their bounds and they're being, shown the light, if you will.
Well, in the Jews for Preservation of Firearms, there was an incident that happened in 1946 in Athens, Tennessee, where the people got sick and tired of city government and the police brutalizing the public, and they took up arms and they took that government back.
Well, when you ask me where do you draw the line, I know where my line is drawn. Do you know where yours is drawn?
Oh, I'll know it when the day happens.
Well, I think we're kind of in that same mindset. I know I'm not taking a national ID card, and I'm not going to get injected with a vaccine to climb on an airplane. You know, there's certain things that I'm just not going to do. Okay, anything else?
No, that's it.
Thank you for the call, George. Appreciate it. Let's go to Ron in Texas. Ron, you're on with Michael and Doug. Go ahead.
Bye. Hey, Michael, good to hear you again. I happen to be hoping in this afternoon from my regular work. What was your guest's first name?
Doug.
Doug, okay, Doug and Michael. You've got a good topic here. And I'm a really strong solutions-oriented person. So there is a problem out there, and the solution is not necessarily to re-educate the police and do all the other business. That may be long-term, but the short-term solution is you need legal protection. And I think anybody's nuts not to have an attorney in his pocket. And I don't mean a brother-in-law either, but to have some sort of a program where you can call. I have a program that's like that. If a cop stops me, I pull out my card and I say I need to call my attorney. And it just really works. It has a real effect. I'm not trying to intimidate the cop, but I want to get on an equal footing. I need to know my rights because the cop certainly will not tell them to me.
It's a good point. Is that some kind of a service that different attorney networks provide, Ron?
Yeah, I have a program with Prepaid Legal Incorporated. I'm an associate with that company also. I fell in love with it 10 years ago because I had a series of issues. I wasn't being arrested or anything like that, but a series of legal issues. And I said, I can't afford to put out $200 every time I want to speak to an attorney. So, yeah, it's a great program. If you'll give me an email address, or I'll email you at the station, I'll send you something about it.
Go into my website at www.theamericanawakening.org, and
right.
my email address is in there. Yeah.
Hey, that's great. Okay. So it doesn't have to be with that company. There are a few other ones that do things somewhat similarly, but not the same in any way. But it's really important to have that all the time. It gives me great safety. It's just marvelous because cops do stop you sometimes for God knows whatever it happens to be. And every time I have not had to say, hey, look at my sticker. I have an attorney that I can call immediately. I haven't had to do that only once. But it's nice to have that in hand so that you always know your rights. And that applies also to when you're at home. I've had situations where dogs came through the fence. I mean, really, it attacked my dog. What do I do? I could have shot the dogs. The attorney suggested not to do that if I could avoid it. So that kind of thing is very important. We have such a litigious society. That it's just dangerous. I don't know if dangerous is the right word, but it's foolhardy not to go around without having some legal advice right at hand. And I don't mean, next day or something like this. The way the arrangement I have for an emergency is I have a 24-hour service.
Well, one other quick question, and then I'll let Doug respond to it if he wants. Is this type of service, can you get on the phone and call an attorney 24-7 if you get busted at 2 o'clock in the morning by a police officer pulling you over?
Yep, absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. 24-7, they'll get back to you just essentially immediately.
Doug, you want to put your input in here?
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great service. I have a similar card that, basically says, you're not going to search my car. It's a little rundown of I know my rights. And you can hand it to them. And, I've gotten pulled over, and I've used it on occasion, and I've gotten pulled over and not used it. And I guess, gauge it by the demeanor of the police officer. But you can go to these electronic stores and get yourself a 30-hour flash personal pocket recorder. Great thing to have. You can put it in your dash. You can hide it in any place. I would definitely, on your behalf, record the conversation that you have with any law enforcement. Pinhole cameras, very cheap. We talk about the police state. Use it to your advantage. We do have this technology.
Sure.
I always carry a video recorder on my person. And, if I get pulled over, I do slip it on. And luckily enough, here where I live, I haven't had too many problems. Usually they're busy, chasing, I guess other people, I'm a white guy in a truck. I guess I'm not the biggest target. I don't speed a lot, but, think like they do. I mean, use the technology that's out there, for your betterment. And, I'm talking about $30. You can go to Fry's or, any other electronics distributor and get yourself a pocket recorder, because you never know, whether that tape will be lost or not, not able to be recovered for whatever reason. So it's good to have that on your side as well, but it sounds like a great service.
Yeah, by the way, Doug, I can, with that service, just for my monthly membership fee, if indeed the cop decides to give me a ticket or whatever it happens to be, he will go to court for me. He will handle the thing for me in court. That's all part of that monthly fee. So
sounds like an excellent service. Go ahead.
Pardon me?
I said, it sounds like an excellent service. Go ahead.
It really is. This company was started in 1972. I mean, it's a New York Stock Exchange company, so very substantial. And matter of fact, it was displayed on Court TV. Court TV had a program on it last weekend. So anyway, I just wanted to throw Doug, I want to say I agree with you also. It's really important to have some way of recording whatever that conversation happens to be. But I've got a good mind, but I just don't want to have to pay tiddlywinks with the judge and the cops and all the other business. I'd rather have an attorney do it for me since it's affordable. Thanks.
Well, I'm in your corner, Ron. I don't want to do that either. I mean, I've actually thought about installing video cameras in my car because I've watched literally have watched hundreds of these clips across the country
right.
of people who have been beat up and tasered, dragged out of their cars. And, you know, I don't want to I'm anything but offensive to a police officer, but
That's
there
right.
are those police officers out there that will attempt to overstep their bounds.
That's
and
correct.
Those are the ones you have to be careful of.
That's correct. Yeah, I agree with you. I look for is, you know, solutions in those areas, and I think probably both are excellent solutions, you know, to have some way of documenting it, and also some way to get directly in touch with an attorney. I've never had a situation where I've had a bad situation where I had to get an attorney on the phone and have the attorney really read the Riot Act. I've had situations where I've said I need to call my attorney, and the policeman said, "Well, okay, well this is probably not that important. I'll just give you a warning." That's what they said to me. But so I just believe in using the tools. And Doug, I agree with you. I think you're going to have some recording mechanism. I will send you that information, Michael. Thanks so
Very
much.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
I would just
Thanks.
Say you can find suppliers that sell these pinhole cameras, flash, 30, 40 gigabit hard drives, and for less than $100. One of them that
right.
people that I buy stuff from is called Super Circuits. If you look them up on their They're a very reputable company, and it, like Mike was saying, I mean, you can install one of these things, and put it in your car, and
right.
you know, to the naked eye, even if they do impound it like they did with Mike's car there, they won't notice it, and you can remotely activate it. Use their techniques to your advantage.
That's right. May I just say one other thing, not in conjunction with getting arrested by a cop in a car, but it is indeed very important just to have protection, some sort of protection that you can count on. And I can't tell you how important it is. I met a really very, very deputy sheriff, a bright guy. He looked like he should have been the CEO of a company. He's a professional guy, tall guy. He's a gunnery officer for the sheriff's department. He's a writer, and he kind of guards, he sometimes goes to bookstores and does that duty on there. I spoke to him. We got to know each other on a first name basis. He lives in Georgetown, which is north of here. And one day I mentioned, I said, I've heard that you guys go out and intimidate people. I mean, tell me the truth. Is that true? He said, if we have any inkling at all, there's going to be any trouble, we put in our heads the following statement: if anybody dies, it's not going to be us. That's first number two. And his number two is, we will intimidate these people no matter what we have to do. And it doesn't matter what the he said, we assume that intimidation must be used.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the call, Ron. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Doug, I want to ask you, now, you said that you had a card. If you get pulled over by a police officer, what, you hand them a card that instructs them of your rights, or that you're aware of your rights, or what exactly?
Yeah, and actually I don't have the thing handy with me, Mike. My wallet's in my vehicle at the moment. But, it's just a card that just basically says, I understand I have the right to remain silent. It's just a rundown. And you can find it, I found it on the Internet, and it was a PDF file that you can print out and just cut them out yourself and print it. I imagine I could find it pretty easily, but and it's just you just slide it to them, and it says, look, I will, I will not submit to an unlawful warrantless search. I will not submit, it just goes over, and there's just 10 little things on there, and it's just line by line. But I like it because it's great. But on the same hand, same token there, you know, if you hand this over to him, you're already kind of you seem somewhat guilty, or you seem somewhat apprehensive to them. And so, you know, I would gauge it. I mean, I don't know if just handing a card to them is the best way. I do keep it, and like I said, I've presented it one time, and it was a very militant woman that had already begun grilling me. Where are you going? Where have you been? La, la, la. You know, I was like, here you go, have the card. But for the most part, I would gauge the situation before you just throw a card that's like, look, you know, I'm not going to talk to you. You know,
it's that old attitude check. It's the attitude check. It's turned around now from, you know, the police officer having the attitude check that we have to now gauge the police officer to see what his attitude is.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And, you know, the caller was mentioning that these guys, you know, they have this mentality that they have to maintain control. And, you know, if they have any kind of inkling that, you know, you might have something in the car, you are some kind of threat, they're going to do anything they can to try to pry that out of you. I hear the music.
Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be back in three. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, with my guest, Doug Owen. Be back for the final segment in three. Stick with us.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
We're back. Final segment of The American Awakening. Your host, Michael Herzog, with my guest, Doug Owen. Doug, and you know, think about this for a minute. If we all had these little cards or the legal defense, or we had cameras in our cars, or we went out and bought the recorders and so forth, That alone would send a statement. If enough of these police officers, I'm not talking about the good police officers, I'm talking about the bad ones, okay? If we had enough of these police officers now appearing in court, turning the tables on them and defending themselves against these, you know, unconstitutional or premeditated acts or going over the top, you know, pick your phraseology, then maybe they'll back off, you think?
You know, I mean, look at Blackwater. You know, a couple of years ago, there was very little mention, and they were running around Iraq, and it just took one incident where they, well, unfortunately, they had to kill a lot of, innocent civilians, but it brought it to, national attention. And, you know, there is quite a bit of, attention coming out in the mainstream media about, like, you know, tasering and whatnot. Unfortunately, people like Bill O'Reilly spin it and sell bumper stickers that say, "Don't tase me, bro." But, you know, the more aware we make people of this epidemic, then, you know, I think that, the more it comes out, it'll force these police chiefs, whatnot, to get rid of these cops and send a message to the rest of the police force that this is unacceptable behavior.
Well, I've tried to put myself in the mindset of a police officer, and I give them credit where credit is due. It's a very dangerous job. It's an underpaid job. They deserve more money than what they're being paid, you know. But there's a lot of psychological testing that goes into putting these people on the street. But the concern that I have is that, yes, there's a lot of these guys, veterans, that are coming back from Iraq, and I'm a prime example because I was beat almost to death by a Vietnam veteran back in 1972, a police officer that came into my house and beat me half to death with a billy club for nothing, okay? And so, yeah, this is a subject matter that concerns me because I see this happening with more and more regularity, and being a victim of it myself, I know that, you know, some of these police officers are just totally over the top. They're crazed. I know there's a high rate of suicide among police officers. You know, it goes with the territory. But the thing is that there is a psychological attitude that one must have. I would assume, I've never been a police officer, but I would assume there's a psychological attitude that one must have, and they have to maintain that attitude and maintain a lot of self-control. I mean, if you visualize yourself being in their position, Doug, you know, every stop, call that they go out on, they never know what they're going to get. They put their lives on the line. So that is a very stressful job. But I think that also they have to maybe scrutinize a little bit more in their testing of what kind of an individual they're putting in that job and the training that they're given.
Well, sure, and it also depends on where you're at. And, like Round Rock, Texas, a cop here has, I mean, you know, we don't have cop fatalities. We don't have people running around shooting cops. So, you know, there's no need for excessive force. Now, you know, in other places, you know, in bad spots, maybe in, like, Los Angeles, you know, I would understand, you know, being quite militant. Like you said, I mean, every time you get out of that cop car, there is a chance, you know, even if it's 1 in 100 that, you know, this person is a felon, they're armed, and, you know, they might try to shoot you, kill you, run over you. So it is stressful. And, you know, when I get pulled over by cops, I always try to make some kind of slight witty joke. Oh, I already know why you pulled me over, you know, or something. You know, just try to set the mood and let them know, hey, you know, I'm not your enemy. I'm with you here. And, I feel like, you know, I'm kind of partying because I know that they're doing such a hard job and, you know, they don't get paid very much. You know, that's why there's so many, you know, corrupt police officer out there, is because, you know, they're making their money under the table because they can barely put, I mean, I know here they get paid $18 an hour, which seems like probably a decent wage, but considering what you have to do, I mean, go to these wrecks, pull bodies from cars, I mean,
All right, we got it. That's it. End of another day. Thanks so much for coming on, Doug.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it, buddy.
I'll have you up again. All right, thanks a lot. Doug Owen, folks. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report with my friend John Stammiller. He'll be up in 2 minutes. End of another day. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you mañana. Have a good one. Bye-bye. With